What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season doing the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, the last show of the week. It is Friday, so happy Friday to everyone. Thank you for listening. We have a lot to get into today because it is the last show of the week, and that means we need to get into the final injury report from this week, and then we'll get into two segments that we're going to be trying to do every Friday now, and that is, in the second segment, get into some fan voicemails. We have some questions about Phillip Rivers and how we feel about him, how we feel about the front office not addressing the offensive line, which we'll always rant about at any given occasion, and also some other questions about maybe Drew Tranquil and Kazir White starting a linebacker. Hey, that might be something I could get behind. So we'll do that in the second segment, and then we'll end the week, as we always do, with John giving some background on the Steelers, Chargers, all-time history, and then giving our bold predictions and our game predictions. So let's go ahead and get into it, boys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined as always by David Drogemeyer. The news today is the Chargers have some key injuries going into this weekend's game against the Steelers, but we do have Thursday's injury report to give us a better idea of who is going to be out there when the Chargers square off against the Pittsburgh Steelers at home on Sunday Night Football. The players who did not practice at all this week were Nazir Adderley, Michael Badgley, Melvin Ingram, and Justin Jackson. Andre Patton did not practice Wednesday, practiced in the limited fashion on Thursday. Good news for Casey Hayward, he was a full participant in practice on Thursday. And Hunter Henry has been a limited participant in both days of practice this week. Let's start with the biggest name on the list for the Chargers that has a possibility of playing, and that is Melvin Ingram. We heard Anthony Lynn say that Melvin Ingram thought he was close to coming back last week. It didn't end up materializing. He did have to sit, and Anthony Lynn also said that when Ingram had the injury occur, that it was always going to be an injury that made him miss 1 to 2 weeks. He has not practiced at all this week, David. He is still the kind of athlete and the kind of warrior that I will not sit here and tell you that he's not going to play on Sunday against the Steelers, but you would like to have seen him at least out there in a limited fashion. We saw Uchenna and Wosu have a really good game last week in Melvin Ingram's absence, but he's still one of the best players on the team, and you have to hope, if you're the Chargers defense and Gus Bradley, that he can be out there.
Yeah, I mean, you can never have enough pass rushers. And obviously, you know, Melvin Ingram hasn't had the big sack numbers so far this year, but he is still a vaunted pass rusher in this league. And yeah, he hasn't practiced all week, but like you mentioned, Melvin Ingram is a freak athlete. And I think he's probably going to be more of a true game time decision. I think they'll probably try to work him out, or he might ask to work out before the game to see if he can go. You know, he wants to go, but this might be another situation of the Chargers trying to protect Melvin Ingram from himself.
You know how much he wants to be out there, and you just have to hope that he's being completely honest with the training staff and not just doing and saying whatever he has to do to get on the field, because that's kind of how Melvin Ingram seems as a player. But the other big player that could potentially come back this week, David, is a guy the Chargers have been missing desperately, and that is Hunter Henry, who suffered from a fractured knee in the first game of the season against the Colts, finished out the game and was part of the game-winning touchdown for the Chargers, but has missed every game since then. And the Chargers have struggled mightily to find an option in the passing game at the tight end position. Lance Kendricks has been somewhat of a non-factor. Same with Virgil Green, and Sean Colkin is now gone for the year with a torn Achilles. But David, Hunter Henry, obviously in a limited fashion this week, was at practice and is moving in the right direction and would be a huge upgrade for the Chargers at the position if he's able to suit up.
Well, there's just been absolutely no production at that position, like you mentioned, and the Chargers have desperately missed him. I mean, a lot of the attention now has been placed on Keenan Allen. They've been doubling him. If Hunter Henry is able to play Sunday night, then that'll take some of that attention away, open up the middle of the field, and also give Phillip Rivers another security blanket, as well as a very big red zone target. So he's definitely been practicing in limited fashion, so that's a good start. You'd like to see a full participant out of him, but you know, I think the Chargers will be careful. They're not going to push him out there if he's not ready. But if he is able to go, that'll be a huge boost for a very anemic Chargers offense so far this year.
Especially in the middle of the field, the Chargers have not been able to take advantage of having tight ends and creating mismatches against linebackers and making big plays offensively, or even just converting third downs when you really need something. That is something that Hunter Henry has always been good at. Had 8 touchdowns his rookie season, so you know he is that red zone threat that you need. Right now, you don't really have much of one besides Mike Williams, and the Chargers haven't necessarily been using him that way when they get close to scoring. So Hunter Henry potentially could come back this week. It falls right into the timeline of what we initially thought, 4 to 6 weeks. The injury occurred in week 1 of the season, and Phillip Rivers needs to add another dimension to this offense, because we saw what happened last week when the Chargers played right into the Denver Broncos' hands and turned really into a one-dimensional offense and struggled heavily. I mean, going into the last drive that they had with only 185 total yards of offense. So that's not going to get it done this week. Having Hunter Henry absolutely helps that. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into the Fan Mail Friday segment. So we got some really good questions today. So we have some long questions too. So let's go ahead and get into it. And we're going to start with Luis from Fort Bragg asking how we feel about Phillip Rivers going forward.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Luis here at the illustrious Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Just call in to see what you guys think about Phillip Rivers. I'm not one to jump on the let's get a new quarterback bandwagon by no means. Just curious to know what you guys think would happen with him at the end of the season. What do you guys expect, or what do you kind of hope? Personally, for the past 2-3 years, I've kind of been hoping we finally win the Super Bowl, or at least get there so that he can ride off into the sunset, retire, that money comes off the books, and we sort of take this team into a new direction, maybe more mobile quarterback, try someone young, Tyrod Taylor or a stick, or even draft a higher first-round, second-round pick at the quarterback spot. With that being said, man, it's been a rough season. But hopefully these boys get it together. Man, they're all out there trying to win. I don't think any team kind of goes out there and tries to lose by any means. It's just these past couple games have been rough. But, I mean, we've made it through worse. You know, we've survived some pretty rough eras, pretty rough games. So best of luck to all y'all, and go Chargers.
Guys, I think that Luis said some pretty interesting things there. It is going to be kind of questionable how we feel about Phillip Rivers going on after this season. And right now, I think it's really hard to judge off of 5 games, because he's had some really good games. And then, of course, his last game was his, you know, one of his worst games. So I think that going forward, we're going to have to see how he finishes out the rest of this season. For me, I think he's going to sign maybe a 2-year contract extension in the new stadium. I think he still wants to play. At least that's how it seems right now. You know, if they end up going 5-11 this year, David, I don't know if we're going to feel the exact same way about that. But right now, I'm okay with Phillip Rivers, but I want to see the rest of the season sample size, and I want to see if he can make it to the playoffs, how he performs there. But I think right now it's too soon for me to tell how I feel about Phillip Rivers going forward.
Yeah, no, I mean, at the age that Phillip Rivers is at, I think you want to monitor how he's playing throughout the season, see if you see any obvious declines in arm strength or decision-making. I mean, obviously, you want to keep a very close eye on those things. But as far as going forward, I still think that Phillip Rivers has said publicly that he wants to play in the new stadium. And, you know, there's no scenario that I foresee him being in another uniform. I just don't think that's possible. So I'm going to agree with you, Daniel. I think a 2-year extension is probably going to be the sweet spot. I don't think he's going to play any more than that. He did say he wanted to, you know, be there when his kids get into high school, which his oldest, I think, is getting pretty close doing that. So, yeah, I foresee him being a Charger for a couple more years, but I do think it's time to, you know, with that information, I think it's time to start looking at bringing in a replacement for Phillip Rivers so he can sit behind Phillip, learn, and be ready to go when his number is called.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think every season now, you're a little bit more likely to see them spend a higher pick than we've seen them spend on a quarterback. I mean, it's still, I mean, Easton Stick in the fifth round, that's still not really planning for the future. I mean, it's a lottery ticket, I guess. But it's not the, you know, number one prospect. Like the Chiefs, when they went out and had Alex Smith and they went and moved up in the first round to the 10th overall pick and got Patrick Mahomes. If you see a guy there that you think can take over, I think you do it at this point with the Chargers because it's a year-by-year experiment. I mean, we just have to kind of play it that way at his age. We have to see how much he still wants it. Any of these years could be his last year potentially. And right now we just don't know, but it seems like he wants to continue playing. So let's go ahead and get into the next question from Brian out of Westminster asking what we think the front office was thinking, not addressing the offensive line in the offseason and a couple more things. Let's hear it.
Hey guys, Brian calling out of Westminster. Just finished listening to the podcast on, what, Monday? Yeah, today's Monday. I'm going to try and be positive or maybe even neutral, but I just have a question. I know you're probably beating your heads about it too. In the off season, why don't you think more attention was paid to the offensive line? I was talking to my uncle and my dad both yesterday, and they both played football, and they both threw their hands up. Why would you not be aggressive in making that line stronger when you have a quarterback who can't run, he can barely move? I don't understand it. You know, Brady seems to have his line intact. He doesn't move, he doesn't run, but he gets to his targets because his line gives him time. What do you think that the front office was thinking and the coaching staff was thinking when they paid little to no attention to the offensive line, knowing that we have a history of injuries which would make a poor offensive line even weaker as the season goes on? But, but you guys are doing great. I'll talk to you on the show. All right, bye.
Well, Brian, I know that you've been listening for a while. You've been one of our most frequent callers to the Locked On Chargers voicemail line, which, again, you can call by dialing 323-524-7924. If you were listening back when we first started the Locked On Chargers podcast until this offseason when we were recording, you would know that one of our biggest questions coming out of the offseason was how did the Chargers go into this season being this confident about the offensive line? We said that, you know, publicly they were saying they believed in Sam Tevy and Trent Scott. And we said, hey, you know, they kind of have to say that until they bring someone else in for that job or they draft a player really high, maybe in the first round like we thought the Chargers might before they ended up selecting Jerry Tillery. We've been kind of screaming about this the whole time. So I think that right now the front office deserves all the heat it's taking because, John, we've literally sat and had entire shows about offensive linemen that the Chargers should bring on. And when we did those, we said at the time, hey, it's not as if these guys are great players, all of them, but they could be better than what you have. And the fact that they didn't try to at least bring in a couple guys to compete for the tackle spots on this team, or at least the right tackle spot going into the season when we didn't know about Russell Okung, I mean, they deserve every criticism that they get because I said it before we knew anything about Russell Okung. What happens if Russell Okung gets hurt? Well, now you have him dealing with what his medical issue is, and now you lost your second best offensive lineman. They deserve it, John.
They do deserve it, and you're right, Wade. Almost every single show during the offseason, you've somehow at some point brought up, God forbid if we lose Russell Okung, knock on wood, and it happened. It's not like it was a mystery or like a puzzling thing. We all know that this offensive line was either going to be really bad in some spots or was going to get hurt in some spots. It was no surprise. When we see injuries on the offensive line, we go, well, it was a matter of time. Now how do they change it since they were so confident in the guys they had? Anthony Lynn seems to be really confident in a lot of these guys on this team that none of us are confident in, and somehow, some way, the fans end up being right about those guys. What is it that Lynn saw in Trent Scott and Sam Tevy that made him go, hey, we have faith in him, he's going to be good, instead of going, hey, you know, there's Jeremy Parnell out there in free agency, let's give him a try and make Tevy and Scott the backup, and we'll have faith in them being the backup? No, they. I don't know what Telesco, Lynn, or whoever the decision maker was. I don't know what was going through their mind, but they deserve every bit of criticism, and it drives me nuts that we have all these injuries now on the offensive line, and we were already bad with our starters. How bad are we going to be with these backups?
Totally. I mean, that's how you have to feel about it, because the Chargers didn't do enough. And we always said that even with the offensive line, when Russell Okung was healthy, that it wasn't good enough. I mean, we said that they should be bringing in upgrades, not just depth at the tackle positions. And you bring up Tom Brady, and yes, Tom Brady can make it look easy sometimes out there. And the Patriots seem to make whatever work as far as their offensive line goes, and they have the creative enough play calling to get around it. And I think that kind of goes back to the Phillip Rivers thing too, is how much help is Phillip Rivers really getting from these play calls, where he's really just having to throw an outlet pass to Austin Ekeler every time, and it worked for the first 4 weeks, and it did not work last week. So really just shines a bad light on Tom Telesco, who has still refused to pay attention to this offensive line, and even getting cute in the draft and waiting till the third round to pick a Division II player in Trey Pipkins. I just think that if he really thought he could start, maybe you could argue that that's a good pick, but for a developmental piece to not go after somebody a little bit earlier, I just don't know if it's excusable at this point. And there's no real help on the way. There's no really good options. I wish I could point out a plan for you that fixes this offensive line, but the only thing that you can hope for is that they get better at helping those guys out on the outside to give Phillip Rivers a little bit more time. But let's go ahead and get into the next question, talking about the potential of maybe Drew Tranquil and Kazir White being the starting linebackers.
What's going on? Locked On Chargers. This is Pat from Long Beach. My thanks to you guys. What are your guys' thoughts on possibly starting Drew Tranquil and Kazir White at linebackers over Denzel Perryman and Thomas Davis? Because I just see, like, our defense is been stout as far as the bend don't break mentality, but I think we're starting way too slow, and the run defense is terrible. Like, we cannot tackle nobody, especially when they ran up the middle. Phillip Lindsay barely had any carries in the first drive, and he broke for like 60 yards. I just don't think Thomas Davis is not as good as he was back then. Denzel Perryman is good, but he's always hurt. We probably need to go to these young guys who's showing a lot of talent right now. It's Drew Tranquil and Kazir White. And also, I like Chenna. You know, he played tremendous. And there's something about him getting that hand on that ball. Just the same as he did in Baltimore. He did it again against the Broncos. I think we need to make a switch because our run defense is terrible. And another thing is, we got to get the pass rush going, because the only way we can get any interceptions and things like that, because our DBs are having to cover for so long, as if we get a pass rush on, we need to start running some more stunts. I'll be running a couple blitzes, but we got to figure something out. Let me know. Thanks.
All right, David. Well, I think he makes some very good points there, and that's something I could get behind. I think that Thomas Davis and Denzel Perryman are both out of place a little bit on some plays just in this new NFL. I know Thomas Davis has probably lost a step. He hasn't had a great season so far settling into a new defense. But at some point, you need to get some younger guys out there. I think there's still a place for a guy like Denzel Perryman to come in, especially in short yardage situations. But I don't know if he should really be out there in coverage. I feel pretty much the same about Thomas Davis, who's making a lot of tackles, but they're usually just too far down the field to feel good about. So I don't know if Drew Tranquil and Kazir White necessarily is going to help you stop the run, but hey, the best we saw the Chargers run defense last year is when we had seven safeties on the field. So maybe having some a little bit smaller but more athletic guys in there can really help, and having Uchenna and Wosu on the field at the same time really helps David, and he also helps with the pass rush. So hopefully between Uchenna and Wosu kind of gaining some confidence in Melvin Ingram, they can kind of figure out a better pass rush and use some stunts more effectively, because they're running stunts right now. They're just getting tangled up in the line of scrimmage. They're just not working. They're taking too much time to develop, and they're not really that hard to see coming. So, David, how do you feel about those two starting linebackers potentially, and how do you feel about the Chargers needing to get some more pass rush?
So I think if you put those guys in the positions that their skill set lends to, then I absolutely would love to see them on the football field more. I think Drew Tranquil has a great coverage ability. I think we should see him out there on obvious passing downs. I like just his read and react ability. I think, you know, they kind of just came in with Thomas Davis with the wrong idea. I mean, at his age, for him to play as many snaps as he has been playing, I just think is the wrong recipe for him. I think he should be rotated in to keep him fresh, to keep those old legs moving a little bit better. And they haven't done that. So, and as far as Kaiser White is concerned, I mean, he's a former safety, got an interception last week. Love to see him on the football field more. I mean, I think we all agreed that we liked what Kaiser White brings to the table. He's, you know, put a couple of more pounds on his frame, and I love what he does on the football field. I just think, you know, both those guys need to be on the field, but in situations that lend itself to what they do well.
Yeah, and we actually saw a lot more of Drew Tranquil last week as well. So I think that there's a lot that can be said. Kazir White has been getting in on the base defense. He's been playing strong side linebacker with Uchenna Nwosu moving to the defensive end spot. So I think that the Chargers pass rush was better last week with him on the field. So it's hard to ignore that. And I do think the Chargers desperately need some more athleticism with their linebacking core right now. And Thomas Davis and Denzel Perryman can have their roles, but they should not be out there on every down. And we saw a little less of that last week, which is some progress at least. And I thought Drew Tranquil played good. But we do have one more caller calling, and it's Barnaby from the 805 area, asking about Anthony Lynn and how we feel about Anthony Lynn and some of the decisions he's made and maybe if he's on the hot seat.
Hey, fellas. This is Barnaby from the 805 area. I got a two-part question for you. First of all, great job as always. Really enjoying the podcast. So question one, how come the introduction only says two writers from San Diego now and not three? Are you guys retaliating or making John Pegley pay for some of his opinions? I'm wondering. I mean, after all, he predicted us to lose to the Miami Dolphins, which, in my opinion, was crazy. But I get it, John. So, but let me know. I'm just curious. Second part question. I really like Anthony Lynn when we got him. I did want Andy Reid. I think a run-first coach is always my second choice. But I got to say, I was impressed with Anthony Lynn the first year. And, you know, he coached the Pro Bowl. But the stubbornness of the offensive line keeping Sam Tevi and keeping Trent is just insane, and the unwillingness to not change, not putting Nazir Adderley in the secondary, and the stubbornness and the bad moves, the play calling is horrendous. I mean, you guys have talked about it, all the fans have talked about it. We're so predictable that it's easy for teams to come in and know that, hey, we're just going to hand it to Melvin in the middle, or we're going to pass outside to Eckler on the side, or if we get to third and 13 or third and 15, as we always do, we'll just go to Keenan. And so we're very predictable, and I think at this point, if we don't make the playoffs, it's time to get rid of Anthony Lynn, and I want to know your thoughts behind that. I would even put Ken Wisenhunt or anyone else as the head coach, maybe even now. So would you guys get rid of Anthony Lynn now, at the end of the season, if we don't make the playoffs, or would you hold on to him and let him ride it out in the new stadium? All right. Thanks as always, and keep up the good work.
All right, John. Well, you got called out, and let me first answer that first question by saying that I might have made a mistake one day, but when I do the intro and say how many writers there are from San Diego Sports Domination, it's just whoever's on the show that day. So if David can't go, it's two when it's me and John, and it's two when it's me and David. So that's really all it was there. And John was at a pretty cool concert, I think, that night, so I think it was worth it. But, John, how do you feel about Anthony Lynn? I know you mentioned this a little bit earlier in the week, so this is kind of right down your alley. So do you agree with Barnaby that he might be on the hot seat right now?
I absolutely agree that he should be on the hot seat right now. Now, I don't blame him for the injuries, because that makes it hard on a coach to have to deal with injuries constantly. But you're the guy who's been saying you have faith in all of these players, and you keep them on the field, and you don't have faith in these guys that you drafted that are guys like Nazir Adderley or Drew Tranquil at the beginning of the year. You didn't have faith in those guys, and those guys showed you a lot during preseason. Hell, Forrest Lamp showed you a lot during preseason, and you never put him on the offensive line until this week, and that's only because Pouncey is injured and not going to play in this game. The offensive line was horrible, and you finally put Lamp in because of an injury. That stuff like that just makes me lose faith in Anthony Lynn. I think last year was just a total accident that we went 12-4. We got lucky in so many ways last year to win as many games as we did. We should have maybe been like 9, maybe 10 wins, but we pulled out some that we shouldn't have won. And this year, we're not doing that. And we have more injuries to come with this year. So I think Lynn is on the hot seat, but I don't think he's going to lose his job at the end of the year just because of all the injuries. I think they're going to use that as an excuse. But he's on my hot seat for sure.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's fair for him to be on the hot seat. I would by no means try to take him out of there right now. But I also think that with the Chargers and their record of, you know, firing coaches, I don't think there's any way he's done. I mean, look how long they kept Mike McCoy, and they let the injuries be the reason they kept Mike McCoy. And I think that'll play into some of what Anthony Lynn is dealing with this year and missing, you know, Derwin James, Adrian Phillips, Russell Okung. I mean, let's not pretend like the Chargers have been healthy and had the full stable of players that you know, maybe we'd be thinking about this differently if the Chargers were 4-1 right now and were pretty healthy or relatively healthy, which in no way they are. I think you have to wait till the end of the season. I think that Anthony Lynn, his calling card is how much the players respect him and how strong of a voice he has in that locker room. So for me, I think that Anthony Lynn is probably safe for at least one more season after this. I don't know if that's good or bad at this point. I'll make that decision at the end of the year. But I think as far as not putting in players that deserve to be in there, Nazir Adderley's obviously hurt right now, so he couldn't be in there either way. But I think as a coach, it's kind of inexcusable. It's one thing to have your guys, but like Travis Benjamin playing in 56% of the snaps last week, you're telling me he's earned that with his play on the field? I strongly disagree. Give me Andre Patton out there. But that is going to wrap things up for the fan mail questions. Guys, thank you all to everyone who called. Anyone else who wants to get their questions on the show, call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail we get gets played on the show. And we're going to try to have fan mail Fridays for you guys every week going forward. But we do have one more segment to get into, giving our game prediction and our bold predictions for this weekend's game against the Steelers. And guys, talking about this game, if you have a good feeling about this game and you think you want to bet on the Chargers and bet on your team in this one, who's a 6.5-point favorite right now, you need to do it with mybookie.ag. Right now, they even have a contest that's a $50,000 survivor contest where the winner takes all October 8th through October 14th before the start of Monday Night Football. Pick one team each week, survive the longest, and you can take home $50,000 in cash. Make a successful deposit with MyBookie, and you'll receive a free entry into the contest today. Between football season, the MLB playoffs, and the start of the NBA and NHL seasons, there's never been a better time to get off the sidelines and get in on the action. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and do it with MyBookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. Right now, we will even give you some free money, because if you go to mybookie.ag and enter the promo code Locked On, all caps, one word, to activate the offer, you can double your first deposit. You put in $100, they will match that $100, and you can be betting this week on all the games. Visit mybookie.ag today, guys, and go win some money. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of the day, and we have to start, as we always do on the Friday shows, with John Kegley giving us a little background story on the Chargers versus the Steelers and what they've done in their all-time series. So, John Kegley, what do we need to know about the Chargers playing against the Steelers?
All-time, the Chargers have struggled against the Steelers. The Chargers are trailing this series 25-10, and 13 of those losses are in Pittsburgh, with only 4 wins in Pittsburgh. 2 of those wins are in the playoffs, so they only have 2 regular season wins in Pittsburgh. But luckily for us, this game is at home, where the Chargers are trailing that part of it only 6-8. Not much of a win, but it means they have a better chance at home. The Chargers have historically, the past, I'd say, like 13 years, been pretty competitive with the Steelers. They've played some close games, been on the losing side of some of them. But at home, the Chargers have actually put up a good fight. We've lost by either 4 points or less, or we've won the game. Some of these games that we've won would be Malcolm Floyd catching a pass over William Gay in the corner of the end zone to win in 2006, 23-13. The first ever regular season win for the Chargers in Pittsburgh, when they won 34-23 in Pittsburgh, when Ronnie Brown converted a 3rd-and-13 with Norv Turner's notorious draw on 3rd-and-long. Don't know how they did it, but they did it. That was when we still had Denari Alexander. Remember him, Mr. No ACL?
He was so good. He was so good for a very short, limited amount of time before all the injuries. It was crazy.
I know. He already had history with those knee issues, and he comes to us, and he's so good. The next year, we're like, oh, we're going to have Denari Alexander. We're going to be good. Bam, torn ACL during training camp. There goes our hope. Just kind of like this year. Kind of amazing. I noticed a trend here, Wade. Last year, we got our second regular season win in Pittsburgh when we made that big comeback and won with 3 field goal attempts to end the game, which we finally won one after the Steelers went offsides and like 3 straight times in a row.
Yeah, so even on the game winner.
Yeah. So the Chargers have historically been pretty good. I mean, we even lost one on the very last play to Le'Veon Bell at home. We should have won that game.
Oh, God.
We should have won that game, too. The Chargers have done pretty good over the Steelers the past, like, 10 or 13 years. So I expect them to have a good fight this weekend.
Yeah, that walk-off win at home against the Steelers, the Michael Vick-led Steelers, was hard to take. I mean, Le'Veon Bell getting pretty much stopped before the goal line and fighting his way into the end zone on a walk-off win for them. I mean, that was just brutal.
I was so pissed when that happened. Oh, my God. I had so much anger. I could not deal with it.
Try being there with a stadium that was literally, I'm not even making up this number, 90% Steelers. I couldn't even see a section that you could see Charger jerseys combined in seats. It was spread out everywhere, but it was all Steeler fans. When they scored that game-winning touchdown, it looked like the whole stadium jumped up and did one giant tsunami wave.
I mean, I don't expect it to be much different this week, if we're being honest with ourselves. So that's not exciting. But speaking of getting excited, and we're not talking about Blue Chew right now, I'm talking about our bold predictions for this game. So let's go ahead and get into the bold predictions, guys. Let's start on the defensive side of the ball. And David Drogemeier, you can go first. Who is your defensive bold prediction centered around this week?
So I expect Casey Hayward to be trailing Juju Smith-Schuster in this one. I think that's definitely going to happen. So with that being said, I think Casey Hayward is going to limit Juju Smith-Schuster to under 6 catches and 50 receiving yards, and he's going to pick off whoever is going to be playing quarterback for the Steelers on Sunday.
I like that a lot. I'm going to go, my defensive bowl prediction is going to be centered around Joey Bosa. I haven't done a Bosa bomb this year for my bowl prediction, so I'm going to say with all the good work that Joey Bosa has put in so far this year, I mean, he has an elite grade on Pro Football Focus. I mean, only I think 4 people have that as edge rushers so far this year, so he's played phenomenally. His sack numbers haven't been there. I'm going to say Joey Bosa in this one gets 2.5 sacks and a strip of whoever's playing quarterback this week against the Steelers. And I think Joey Bosa gets back on track and reminds us how much he's going to get paid in the offseason. John, what is your bold prediction this week?
Can I just say my bold prediction is it'll be nothing but Charger fans? Nah, that's too bold. That's
the boldest.
That's too
way
bold.
Too bold. Yeah, way too
bold. I'm going to say that Devlin Hodges is going to be the starter this weekend, and I think he's going to outperform Phillip Rivers. Not your typical bold prediction because it's not pro Chargers, but I think Hodges is going to outperform Phillip Rivers in his first ever career start.
Wow. I mean, I'm a fan of Duck Hodges over there, Devlin Duck Hodges, but I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, it could happen. Crazier things have happened, but I like you being unconventional with the bold prediction. It's better than, you know, Joey Bosa scoring 6 touchdowns or something.
I know it sounds like an offensive bold prediction. It sounds like an offensive bold prediction, but it's me saying that our defense is going to let down Phillip Rivers, basically.
It could happen. Crazier things have happened. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to start it off here so nobody steals mine because I'm going 2 big-name players this week. I usually go smaller guys. I'm going to say Keenan Allen gets back on track this week before either of you two gets the chance. I'm predicting a huge game from Keenan Allen in this one. Remember in the last game where they won, he had that crazy touchdown where the ball popped up in the air off of like 17 people, and it was just totally ridiculous and a big reason what started them coming back in that game, or at least being in that game. So I'm going to say Keenan Allen goes 13 receptions for 160 yards and a touchdown in this one. David, go ahead and follow that one up.
I like that a lot, but I mean, that's kind of part of what we said in the game plan. So I hope that does happen. For me, my offensive blow prediction is going to be Melvin Gordon is going to knock the rust off in this one. Ooh. And he is going to show everybody that he is ready to make some money in the offseason. He's going to go for 110 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns.
Wow, I love that. That's a bold take right there. And a lot of people hating on Melvin Gordon, so I like you going against the grain there. John, where are you going offensively?
I'm going to make you all look like a bunch of wusses here. And okay. I'm going to say the offensive line is going to give up 0 sacks in this game.
I mean, it's as bold as you can go. It's as bold gets right there. I mean, whew, All right. Well, I mean, that's bold. So let's go ahead and get into our game predictions then. David, how do you see this? No, you know what, David, you're the positive one. Let's go with the negative one first. John, how do you see this game playing out this weekend since you know, crazy things are going to happen from Devlin Hodges? Who might not even play? You never know.
Yeah, that was just my prediction that he would start. And if he doesn't start, then, well, I already got my bold prediction wrong. Or Philip Rivers does so bad that Hodges is 0 for 0 for 0 yards, still looks pretty good. You never know. But I don't think our offensive line is going to put up as good of a fight against the Steelers defense as we'd like. I think Rivers is going to be hurried to throw the ball out of bounds a lot. So I don't see much offensive production. I think we lose this game 31-20.
Wow. Predicted another Chargers loss. Well, I mean, you got it right last week. Neither of us was willing to put our name on it. And I think what the Steelers do well is they take the ball away a lot. They lead the league in takeaways. You heard Anthony Lynn expressing his concern about that to the media. So Anthony Lynn is scared of takeaways. I'm scared of giveaways from the Chargers as well. David, where are you going in this one?
So after an embarrassing loss to an AFC West opponent, I truly believe the Chargers are going to, they're really going into this game pissed off, and I think they're ready to explode. I think they're going to bring a different level of intensity than we've seen all year, and they're going to show everyone that despite those crippling injuries that they've had to fight through, that they still have the weapons to stick around in this playoff picture, and they're going to beat the Steelers 34-24.
Okay, I like that. I mean, it seems realistic that the defense might give that up just because it's hard to trust them right now. I'm more on the side of David than I am of John. I think for some reason, I mean, I had a bad feeling about the last game too, and I just didn't have a bad enough feeling, I guess, to put my money where my mouth is. I had the Chargers getting a 1-point win. This week, I think it'll be a little bit easier for the Chargers. I just expect them to play much better this week. There was a really lethargic performance, and they just didn't try as hard as the Broncos did in the last game, and that was hard to watch. I think they bounced back this week, and I think that the urgency of being 2-3 kicks in a little bit. I have the Chargers winning by a decent margin, maybe the Chargers getting away from one score games unless they turn the ball over 3 times, which could definitely happen. But I'm going to say that the Chargers win 35-21. So I'm going to say a lot of touchdowns in this game. I still don't fully trust the defense, but I think the Chargers have a statement game as well. For some reason, I just have a good feeling about this game. So that is going to wrap things up for the week. Thanks to everyone that called into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. 323-524-7924 is the number if you guys want to be the next one to call in. But thanks for doing that. It was a great segment. And if you don't already, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, because we post the shows there as well. And if you don't already, make sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from. So we will talk to you guys next week. Hopefully we get a victory Monday show for you guys. The Chargers really need it this week. Let's hope they come through. But until then, I'll talk to you guys later. Take it easy and go Bolts.